Hi, this is Wayne Ivey, pastor at First Christian Church Conroe. It's good to be back with you, even if it's over a podcast. Mary Louise and I appreciate all of the prayers and good wishes that came our way during our battle with COVID. We were very sick for about 3 or 4 weeks, and it took a couple of weeks after that. So it's been about 6 weeks since I've been in your presence. The pandemic has affected so many of us, and that's the reason I'm sitting in front of this microphone this morning instead of being with you in worship on Sunday. We will not have live worship on this Sunday morning due to the fact that several of our food pantry volunteers have tested positive, and a few of them have actually come down with COVID. So keep them in your prayers this week, and we will be in communication with you and let you know when we can get back to live worship. I hope it's within a week or two, but we will let you know. And I want to encourage and implore you to do everything in your power to keep safe. Wash your hands, wear a mask, stay socially distance. Do all that we know we are supposed to do. The pandemic is not getting better, my friends. It is the worst that it's been right now. So we must pay attention and help get through this pandemic together. I invite you now to spend a few minutes in silence and meditation. You might want to get your communion materials together and listen to this worshipful music as we prepare to be in worship together.
Of chaos, calm in the heat of war, showed with amazing grace what love was for. You forgave my insensitivity and my attempt to then mislead you. You stood beside a wretch like me. Pretty amazing grace was all I knew. Inside the doorway of your chapel, humbled in God by everything I found. Beauty and love surround me, freed me from what I fear. Ask for amazing grace and you appear. You overcame my loss of hope and faith, gave me a truth I could be. Showed me to a higher place, showed your amazing grace. When grace was what I needed, so in the mirror I see your reflection. Open a book, you live on every page. Follow you there to lift me, share every road I climb, and with amazing grace you ease my mind. Came to you with empty pockets first. When I returned I was a rich man, didn't believe love could quench my thirst. But with amazing grace, You showed me that it can. In your amazing grace, I had a vision. From that amazing place, I came to be. Into the night, I wandered, wandering aimlessly. Found your amazing grace to comfort me. Overcame my loss of hope and faith, gave me a truth I could believe in. You led me to a higher place, showed me that love and truth and hope and grace were all I needed.
Hear our call to worship. As a shepherd seeks a lost sheep, so God saves the lost. Like a woman who searches for a lost coin until it is found, so God rejoices over one soul restored to wholeness. As a father receives a returning wayward son, so God welcomes us and lets the past be past. Therefore, in our worship this day, let us praise God in thanksgiving that we are received. In our worship this day, let us receive and welcome and rejoice over one another in the name of Jesus Christ. As we prepare for a time of prayer together, there are concerns we need to lift up. In our church family, remember Martha and Adnet and her family in the sudden death of Martha's husband, Chris, this past week. We pray also for Marilyn Coyne's daughter, Karen, who had surgery this week. We pray for those in our church family who are battling COVID at this time. And then we lift up our nation and her leaders in a time of deep division, that the divisions might be healed. We lift up our nation's capital as it prepares for a new administration. May peace prevail. We lift up all of our health workers who are leading us through this pandemic, and for those thousands and thousands of families who have lost loved ones to this dread disease. Lord, you know our prayer concerns before they reach our lips. Hear us as we come to you in prayer. Let us pray. Living God, we seek your presence now. Our minds cannot understand you, yet our hearts cry out for a living relationship with you. Our eyes cannot see you, yet without you there would be nothing to see. Our faith cannot grasp you, yet in you we live and move and have our being. Our way ahead into this coming week is hidden from us, but we trust that you have prepared a way through for us. Renew our vision of the eternal truths, in the light of which our day-to-day lives must be lived. Open our eyes to see your presence in the simple glory of everyday things. Light up our relationships with other people by the living word of Christ. Help us to see where we went wrong in the past, that we shall be able to take our bearings afresh for the way ahead. In Christ's name we pray, in the way he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Bowing here, I find my rest. And without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you.
As we share a moment of stewardship together, I want to encourage you to give your gift online. I'm telling you, if I can figure out how to do it, anyone within the sound of my voice can. What an abundance of gifts that you and I have to offer. We've got musical talent, laughter, the use of our hands in cooking and repairs, the use of our minds in problem solving, curiosity, compassion, patience, urgency, spiritual reservoirs, financial resources, obedience, and the courage to act. All of these gifts and others which bear our personal marks are symbolized in our offerings for the work of the church. Let us commit ourselves as we worship God with our offerings. Oh God, use our offerings of money, time, and talents to enliven your church, to enhearten a world prone to discouragement, to enable a spreading of the love of Christ. May all our gifts and our giving be acceptable in your sight. In the name of Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen. And now I encourage you to gather your communion elements. On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took the Passover with those whom he loved so dearly. After the meal, he took the loaf once again. He broke it. He blessed it. He passed it among them, telling them to eat, that this was his body given for them. In that same way, after the meal, he took the cup once again, Elijah's cup of community. After blessing it, he passed it among them, telling them to drink all of it. This was the cup of a new covenant that would be sealed with his sacrifice. We come after those first disciples, celebrating his words, "This do in remembrance of me." Let us pray. O God, bless this holy meal to our lives and our lives to your service. For Christ's sake, amen. Our scripture lesson for today is a familiar one. It comes to us from Luke 10, verses 29 through 37, and we know it as the story of the Good Samaritan. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these three do you think proved neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" Jesus said, "The one who showed mercy on him," was his answer. And Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." In the New Testament witness, who are Jesus' heroes? I can think of several right offhand. I would call the woman at the well a hero. You remember Jesus went to draw water and the woman was there, and she was there in the heat of the day drawing water because the other women in the village didn't like her. And yet this woman of ill repute, of a despised race, was the very first person that Jesus told who he really was. He announced his Messiahhood to the woman at the well. Or what about Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus was a rich tax collector, and he had taken advantage of a lot of people and had not done them right. And Jesus went up to him and said, "Listen, I'm going to have dinner with you this evening." And Zacchaeus, he was so astounded that at the dinner he told Jesus, he says, "I will give half of my goods to the poor, and if there's anyone I have cheated, I will refund their money gladly." And Zacchaeus became a follower of Jesus. Or then there's the Roman centurion. No one liked the Romans. The Roman centurion came to Jesus because he had a servant who was ill, and Jesus said that he would go with him. And the Roman centurion said to him, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you under my roof. If you will just say the word, I know that my servant will be healed." And Jesus' reply was, "Never in all of Israel have I seen such faith." And in the Beatitudes, we find that the poorest and the least will be called the blessed. So let's take a little closer look at our Good Samaritan to see what we can learn. What was the difference between the priest and the Levite and the Samaritan? Well, I think you can sum it up like this. The priest and the Levite looked at the helpless man beaten on the road, and they each asked himself, "If I help this guy, what's going to happen to me?" The Samaritan, on the other hand, looked at the beaten and robbed stranger on the road, and he asked the question, "If I don't help this man, what's going to happen to him?" The priest and the Levite only considered their own welfare and their own self-interest, while the Samaritan considered the welfare of the other. study after study has revealed that churches start to decay and decline when they turn inward, when they only worry about their own well-being, their own property concerns, how much money they can raise to take care of their own business. That's when a church begins to lose its purpose for being. Churches who thrive are those churches who look outward, and their question is, what can we do in this community to make life better for everyone? As we get back to our planning process, I hope that is the direction that we will go. We will not be a church that's focused solely on First Christian Church Conroe. I know that that is not true about us. That is one of the things that Mary Louise and I love about this place so much, is all of the outreach good that we do. And our challenge is to increase that in the years to come. And we need to take for our model of ministry the Good Samaritan, because see what he did. He gave his time, his trouble, his money, and his reputation to help make things better for the man who was beaten on the road. I know that in the future, Conroe will be a better community to live in because of First Christian Church. I don't know if you agree or not, but it seems to me that we are in a sort of crisis point in our nation. There is such a deep divide. It's almost as if we're choosing up tribes and coming out against each other. But you know, the word for crisis in Chinese, the symbols mean two things. They mean danger, but they also mean opportunity. And I think there is an opportunity for us in First Christian Church to become part of a healing that takes place, both in our community and in our nation. I hope that we will be a place where we listen to each other's opinion with respect, and where we can agree to disagree agreeably. I know that about half of my friends are on one side of the political divide and half of my friends are on the other side. We must find a way to work through that. You know, tomorrow is Martin Luther King Day, and that's a day that that we celebrate as a nation. And I want to share with you one more of Martin Luther King's sayings. Listen to this. I refuse to accept the view that mankind is so tragically bound to the starless midnight of racism and war that the bright daybreak of peace and brotherhood can never become a reality. I believe that unarmed truth and unconditional love will have the final word. I have decided to stick with love. Hate is too great a burden to bear. Now may the good Lord bless and keep each one of you. May the good Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the good Lord lift up her glorious countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Sweet by and by, we shall meet. have been.